Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Everything up.
Test, 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 1, 2. We're good there. Start recording. Awesome. Okay. This is it. Sit back and enjoy.
On with the show.
In this 3, 2, 1.
Ape Escape. You better get them before they get you.
Were those monkeys driving trucks?
Yeah, they got out of the zoo and drove that guy's poor truck. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of what we call Play Retro. We talk about old video games here. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and I swear I'm going to get every damn one of you stupid monkeys if it takes me the rest of my damn life.
Gotta catch them all. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I think these time-traveling apes are monkeying around with the history by poisoning the genetic pool of these prehistoric birds. No, them are brown turtles. No, maybe dogs. They're polygonal. Anywho, they're diddling with the local flora and fauna with their monkey ways, and I'm about to spank them back to 1999, where they belong. Captain's Log? I don't know how these apes got those toy Spock hats with the sirens on top from the 70s, but I'm not having it.
Oh, I was waiting for a little monkey noise at the end. That's good.
Yeah. I think I was supposed to do the spike.
Yeah.
That's the thing he does when he chops him with the thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? The Spock hats? You know what I'm talking about?
Those stupid little siren Spock hats. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I posted a link to that stupid image in case you didn't know. We're talking about Spock hat.
No, they're dumb. They're dumb, and they look even dumber on a monkey. But
I kind of love them, though, even though it's like the dumbest non-show thing ever is Spock having that siren on top of his hat. I love that. And I love the person who put it actually in the, you know, actually is photoshopped it on Spock from to pretend like it was real.
Do you think they were Star Trek fans and they made this game and they were just like, yeah baby, let's put those Spock,
yeah baby, we gotta put something on these monkeys' heads. Mm-hmm. They can't just be smart.
No,
some kind of smart pills.
No, I don't need smart monkeys. The thing I've learned from all the Planet of the Apes, even the bad ones, we don't want smart monkeys. We don't want them.
And these are monkeys, right? Because these are not apes. It's called Ape Escape, but I think these are monkeys.
Are they not chimps? I thought they were chimps, no?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not actually sure. This is something we're going to have to dig into. We never even thought about it while playing the damn game, whether these
right.
are
chimps. I just wanted to catch those hairy little things that were jumping around going ee-ee, ooh-ooh.
Yeah, wearing the dumb hats and all that. I played a bit of it this week, and I played a bit of it back in 1999, but not fully. I did not finish this game. So I don't know what the ultimate end point is for Ape Escape, but we're going to talk about it in detail.
Yes.
Okay? So stick around for that. In the meantime, just real quick here, I screwed up this week and got obsessed with a thing, and it didn't let me go. I played a ton of these factory games, various ones of them.
Oh,
so I was
that
playing,
is a fact.
I was playing Factorio. I played Satisfactory. Yeah. I played a game called Mind Industry.
Mindustry.
That's what it is.
Right.
It's on sale right now for like $5, so I thought I'd give it a swing. And then I played a game called Factory Town. And was there one other? That might have been it. Four of them. Oh, Dyson Sphere Program. So 5 games.
Oh, wow.
Just trying to kind of find the one that I really wanted to get into a groove with.
Yeah.
And I think I ended up sort of Dyson Sphere Factory is my favorite of the bunch and the one I'll probably spend the most time in. they all have, kind of have their things, but it just screwed any kind of retro gaming time I thought I was going to have this week.
Oh, no.
So I did
and
none
I was
of that
sick over the weekend.
Oh, that's right. So. You were sick. You weren't feeling well, including yesterday. Oh, by the way, today, Wednesday is our new time for shows, by the way. The new schedule.
Yeah, by the way,
Wednesdays.
By the way.
Yeah, 3:30 Mountain Time on this day from now on. But anyway.
Until it turns into Thursday. But
that's
whatever,
right.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Show up on Wednesday.
Well, hopefully it won't, because then Cora's on that night, and then I'm host.
That's right.
So now
we'll
have
just
to
do both at the same time.
I guess we'll just occasionally have to bump them to a Tuesday. See, it'll just change places. I don't know. Anyway, here's the point. The retro game playing I did get in was funny because I wasn't planning on playing it very long. I just wanted to play a little bit and get some audio for it for today's Guess My Game. So I'm not going to tell you the game, but I played that thing for 3 hours yesterday.
Oh, you got retroed.
It's good. I forgot how good it was. I already liked it. I owned it back in the day, and maybe that's a hint, maybe not. But later, you'll find out what it was, Brian, and it's so good.
Only if I guess.
So good. Anyway, Brian, what'd you do? What'd you get up to? Anything fun?
Well, you know, last week we talked about that PS Plus I was going to subscribe to because I knew the Ape Escape was on there, and they just said they're going to release Ape Escape 2. And I was like, all right. And I ended up purchasing the $18 monthly thing from the PlayStation store to play on my PS4 to see how it would play. And then over the weekend, my birthday happened, and we just happened to be at our local Wally Mart.
Oh.
And my family said, you need this. And I was like, what is this? What, PS5? God of War? Ragnarok? I'm like, I've waited 2.5 years for this. This is way too much of a birthday gift. Don't worry. You'll pay for it. We did. So we got the PS5. So I got to, I had a chance to fire up. That's right. I loaded up God of War on my PS5, and then I launched Ape Escape and played it instead. So that's what I did this week.
Nice.
With my PS5. Good thing I have this fast hardware
to play an old
game
on the
from
PS1.
1999. By the way, it plays fantastic. And if you're doing it on the consoles, you can download it. You don't have to do the stream thing, which I did do some of.
I thought it was streamed only everywhere. No?
No. That was just, from my understanding, I had two options. I could download or I could stream both of my PS4 and my PS5, or I could download the app for my Windows machine and stream it there. And I did that a little bit as well.
Oh, but you have to stream it. So my understanding is all the retro stuff older than PlayStation 4, meaning PS3 and back, Any of that stuff that's on that higher tier of Plus,
right,
is streamed only because they don't have they haven't done the work on the backwards compatibility stuff. I don't think.
No, at least that was not the case for my Ape Escape. Unless they just fooled me because they had two options. They said, "You want to download this? You're a streamer." I said, "Well, download it," and it was butter. It was butter.
That surprises me. If that's true, I wouldn't mind that higher tier because I avoided it.
I did the stream on the PC and it was not butter, but on the PS4 and the PS5, butter.
Okay. Nice butter. Mm-hmm. Some good. I can't believe it's not butter, you said.
I can't believe it's not the butter.
No.
But man, I'm so excited. I don't know what to do. And now I'm like, how am I going to find time to play some more games? And also, did you get the, you remember when they was having all the trouble, the Sony was having all the trouble with the, we're getting the PS5s in people's hands. So they said, well, settle down. We're going to give you a bundle of games that's accessible through the PS Plus.
Yeah.
So you can play all these cool little games. And I think one of them is like the Insane Trilogy, Crash Bandicoot. Crash Bandicoot. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Crash
it's very good, by the way. Good collection of those. They're all remastered versions of those games. And they're remakes. They're not even remastered. They're full remakes. And they're great. They're really good.
And if you don't claim it now, you'll lose access to it very shortly.
You
so I got down there and I downloaded, do each one of them. Mm-hmm. I don't like this little game they play. It's like, if you want to add this to your library, you had to go in there and add your library. Just let me add it to just.
I know.
Let me just click a button that says add all.
That's why I think Game Pass is easier. You just get in and it's there. And if you don't have it, it isn't. It's as simple as that.
You want games? It's like library?
Do you want games? Yes. Do you not want games? Then don't pay for it. That's it. That's the choice I want. I don't want to go, I better hurry before this imaginary freaking time runs out and they put it back in the imaginary vault and never let it out again.
Yeah.
F off.
Put it in there with Disney's head, whatever.
It's weird. I don't like how Sony does that stuff. But anyway, cool. You played Ape Escape on a PlayStation 5.
I did play one modern game. I played Stray because I knew it would annoy my cats.
Oh, yeah. Stray's great.
Sure enough. Yeah, sure enough, I was sitting there and I was doing the little meow thing with the cat. If you haven't played it before, you play as a stray cat and it just what it sounds like. Cyberpunk, and my cats, one of my cats was just enamored with it. He just sit there and just like kept trying to hit the screen. And I'm like,
as cats will do. Yeah, cats like that. No, that's great because that's easily one of the best indies last year. It's a fantastic game.
Yeah. And then I played Ragnarok and the kids were coming up. They were trying to hit the screen. It's like, Daddy.
Oh, no, I want to play Ragnarok. I want to slap Thor in the face.
Well, anyway, good deal. That's what we did this week. But now we're going to talk about a game, and we have to play this to do it.
Shall we play a game?
We played Ape Escape and dug deep into its history. It's a series of video games developed primarily by Japan Studio. That is a Sony studio. Yeah. And published by Sony Computer Entertainment. This started with Ape Escape on the PlayStation in 99, as we mentioned earlier. And the series incorporates ape-related humor. If you like ape humor, or we think maybe monkey humor, because they're not really apes. We're not sure.
Right. If you like banana jokes, I have the game for you.
Yeah. Do you think... I'm trying to think of another game where they lean harder into the theme of what you should joke about.
What's that game? The Pedro banana thing. What is that?
Oh, my friend Pedro
My friend Pedro. Is that right?
Yeah. That banana. There was pretty heavy, you know, the banana lore on there.
Right.
But anyway, the series incorporates all that dumb humor. It's got unique gameplay. It required a DualShock, the first dual analog Sony controller, which was not standard with the system. You had to go buy that separate, like a damned accessory back then.
Yeah, you could buy it bundled with the game. You could get a DualShock controller and get the game. You could do it with you didn't have to have the DualShock, but you definitely had to have dual analog.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were getting it, you might as well get it because it definitely was not going to work with your OG original PS1 controller that came with that thing.
No, hell no. Mm-hmm. But it was unique in that regard. It's like, hey, we have this hot new thing. I mean, it's weird to think of a time in gaming history where a controller just didn't ship with two analog sticks. The closest we got to that was the Steam controller only doing one. Like that's about the last time something got stupid. And I know some people love that little pad, whatever. I don't care. The point is,
it acts like an analog stick. You can make it act like an analog stick.
It's no sort good. Of. Like playing a shooter, you feel like you're using two different things. It's no good.
Right.
But anyway, if it was so great,
Sony did not whiff with theirs. They were the first to the market with the dual analog stick, which, like you said, we take for advantage now, for granted. But back in the 97, when they first started developing Ape Escape, they were, mm-hmm. they took this to the expos and things, and they would have the controller behind glass, and they would only let certain people touch it. Oh, you can touch it. Here you go. Mm-hmm. You can touch the dual stick. People were like, oh my god, this is the most amazing thing ever. This is almost as good as the new the force feedback stick, but it's got the rumble packs in it.
Yeah, that's
in the hands.
Yeah, you're not wrong, and it was well received. Right. People thought the DualShock was an awesome controller, and to this day, it is one of the best controllers I ever held in my hand. I love that thing.
Yeah,
and I bought one right away because I was told this is the thing that'll piss me off when I think about it. I was told it was going to work with Wipeout XL, the sequel to Wipeout.
Oh, interesting.
It didn't. It never supported it, ever.
Right.
And I was so annoyed by that, because gosh dang it, if a game ever called for analog control, it's that damn thing.
Yeah.
And it didn't. They never claimed it would, but I just was sure. I was just like, oh, of course it will. It's a brand new controller. They want to sell more of these. And instead, they relied on this stupid ape to be the thing that sold it, you know?
Yeah, that was a real big commitment too. They were in development on this Ape Escape. They had a meeting. They showed them the new controller, and they decided to incorporate all of that stuff. They went so far in. They said, you know what? This is the only way you're going to be able to play this game. Mm-hmm. And it was really one of my first experiences with a dual stick was Ape Escape. I had this on the PS1. I got the PS1 fairly early in the release cycle, if I remember correctly. Modded it, but I had Ape Escape. I purchased it. And this the games like this, these 3D platformers, I was like, oh, this is the stuff. I like Croc. I like this game. Croc didn't Croc work with that?
I think it might have. Croc might have. Yeah. It was later, yeah. I mean, there was never quite enough games that supported it, but those that did were a good showcase for what was possible, and every controller since then from everyone would end up having two sticks. Although the way the two sticks were handled on a GameCube were a little bit weird, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah, we've talked about the C stick before here on the Play Retro show, but I'm okay with it. But this one, I remember trying to play Ape Escape, and it's a different. Yeah, I remember it was the first time I really felt like, oh wow, I am using all of this darn controller. I've got two sticks down here. I've got a D-pad that I can rotate around on. I've got to use the triggers to jump. This is weird. I'm not used to jumping with a trigger. That's
all four triggers. Like that was funky. The other thing that controller had. I mean, the DualShock, so did the base controller, but the DualShock also having the, you know, R1, R2, and then, wait, what is the other one called?
LB. R1.
That's bumpers, LB and L2. RB. Yeah. Here's what it sounded like right here. Trippy. Listen to that. Monkey sounds and stuff.
Yeah. You know? Sochi Tarada, a DJ from in Japan. Yeah. They heard this music and they was like, we got to have it. And this is one of the most charming parts of this whole game is that freaking music. I love it.
I think the soundtrack after playing it this week might be my favorite part of it because I think the gameplay is pretty rough.
It definitely can be rough, like you said, because when you're controlling it, you control your movement with the left stick, and then you control like walking around. But then to use your weapon, you use the right stick, and you got like a beat club that you'll get right away and a time net. Oh, we haven't even gotten to the story of Ape Escape yet, but trust me, you got gadgets, and you have to use that. To control your weapons.
Yeah.
And it is funky. I'll give them that. It's funky.
It is funky. I mean, we're in the early days of 3D platformers. Nintendo had already said, hey, yo, look at this. Mario 64, compete with this, everybody. It's not going to be easy. And it wasn't. It was not easy to compete with that. They took some different directions with this. Like you said, the idea of using your weapon with one stick and then moving with the other is kind of ass backwards today. Like, we don't do that. We do camera control with one, movement with the other. Them's the breaks. That's how you play shooters now. It's how you play a whole bunch of different genres. And this game was just like refusing to let you do that. Let's go back to story for a second. The short of it is, for most of the game, you play this dude named Spike. He's this boy. His job is to go and find all these stupid apes across time, stop them from rewriting history, because, you know, the story is you put enough apes on typewriters, eventually they'll write, you know, the Bible or whatever it is. I don't know what it is.
There's some Shakespeare, right?
Shakespeare? That might be it. Now, today, you just need one machine learning AI.
And right, just one machine learning monkey.
Yeah, it's not a problem. But anyway, you use various gadgets, like you mentioned, to pursue and capture them, such as the stun club. You get that dumb
which looks like a lightsaber. Come on.
Yep, that's a lightsaber, basically. You got a time net, which some of the video here just showed for those watching in the chat. And you get them to the present day. The apes have escaped. Your job is to capture them all. And you look like a Pokemon trainer. That's what you look like.
It's exactly this man. If you've never, this has got some serious Pokemon vibes. I mean, I think actually even the European version of this had like some Pokemon voice actors, if I remember correctly. There's a lot of differences between the U.S. release and the European release and the Japanese release. And in the names of the monkeys and how they name a lot of stuff is really weird.
Don't you think it's weird? It's really weird to me that the PSP version, which is kind of a remaster of sorts, had a whole nother name and everything. It didn't have two sticks. The PSP had one.
No, it didn't. You know, I kind of forgot about that before I started playing. I was like, oh, so they ported it over the Ape Escape on the loose in 2005 to the PSP. And I was like, I was kind of curious because the PSP was kind of like between the PS1 and the PS2 hardware in a portable format. And I'm like, how are they going to pull that off?
Yeah.
And so they remade it, up the graphics a little bit. But you're right. There's no right stick on that thing.
Yeah.
And so there's some tricks. It did not control well. I definitely prefer the PlayStation 1 version of it, even though having it portable is pretty darn cool. And there's a couple of mini games you can only play on the loose versus the PlayStation.
The PSP, the PSP and the 3DS's decision to have one analog It wasn't even really a good stick. It was more like a moving disc thing.
Yeah.
It was a bad choice. It was bad.
That was the biggest complaint about the PSP. People kept going, when's the next version coming out? And when are you going to add that second analog stick? Because we want to play PS1 era games. We want to, you know, they have two sticks. We want them ported.
Yeah. Not only that, even new stuff you're going to put on there, you just had very lousy camera control for certain games. The first Ratchet and Clank PSP title was so hampered by that.
Yeah, it was more like really Ratchet and Gank.
Gank, more like Gank. But they, you know, of course, fixed that with the Vita many years later, and then stopped making handhelds altogether, which bums me out to this day.
Yeah, I will say that back in the day when I had my Game Boy Color and the different, you know, the different iterations of the Nintendo ecosystem, when the PSP came out, I was stoked. I got the Darth Vader one. I felt like an adult. Like, yes, I'm grown up. Sony's grown up. What do you got? I got this really cool Darth Vader PSP, but I was always just mad because I didn't have that right stick. Yep. It was
same. Annoyed me.
Yeah.
Still annoys me. I'm annoyed now, and I haven't owned one for a while. Well, I have one, but it's a piece of crap in a drawer somewhere. But
You know. But Ape Escape was great for it was always a fun time. The music was fun. You got to upgrade your character through getting new gadgets so that he could clear the different levels, because you're going throughout time. You were starting in the beginning of time where it's like, well, I guess beginning of time that I guess we could breathe. But we're fighting, you got dinosaurs. The apes, I don't know what the apes are doing. I don't really know what the apes are doing. The story is super thin, which actually makes it kind of fun. But the apes go back in time thanks to Spectre. No, not James Bond Spectre, a white monkey that was in a monkey amusement park because things. And he had gotten a hold of one of the professor's helmets to make him smart.
Yeah,
and then he made a bunch of he found some more helmets, or he made some more helmets for the other ones, or I don't know. Anyway,
he didn't make more monkeys or anything.
Even though they do act like clones, oddly, but he gave all those smart helmets, and then they activated the time machine, which the professor hadn't finished. This whole story is about the unfinished projects of the professor and his granddaughter, who's working at the lab, and you're for some reason you're Spike, and you got your good friend, and you're running towards the professor. And anyway, time happens, and you have to go back and have to catch them all using different gadgets, and some of the gadgets are pretty cool. My favorite part of this game, I did not experience back in the day, was this past week getting to really know there's like a scanner thing that can scan where the monkeys are, because they hide in the environment sometimes. When you can see them without the stupid scanner thing. But anyway, when you do that, you can then see the monkey's name, because there's over 200 monkeys or apes in this game. And each one of them has their own name, and each one of them has their own stats, and each one of them has like a little small, like half a sentence phrase attached to them, including popular culture references like South Park, where there's one level where there is there's Kratman, that's right, in the Dark Ruins. There's Kratman, it's named one of the monkeys, Kyle, Stan, and Kenny.
Oh, lovely.
And yeah. And I don't know why he's Kratman, but the rest of them they nailed.
That makes sense. He just caught one named Poopie in the video.
Yeah, Poopie.
Yeah, Poopie. Yep. He's cool.
And Poopie is great. I also, let's see, there's one of them. They had to change some of the names later on for the North America release, I think, because fear of copyright. There was an ape named Frito with the description, needs clean underwear.
Oh, what? Holy crap. Are they trying to say that Frito-Lay brand Fritos are going to give you the squirty butt or what?
I don't know, but they end up naming it Quiff with the description. Quiff with the description, bad fur day. And I'm like, okay, that's no better. That's definitely not better.
No, it's not better.
I don't know if that's a true fact or not.
Yeah.
But VGFacts, videogamefacts.com, where I go sometimes. People would submit stuff, and this was in one of those. So I could not verify this anywhere else, but this guy seemed pretty convinced. It maybe is true, maybe it's not. But I love the idea that
that doctor you were talking about. Here he is. I'll play a little of him.
The bad news, Spike, is that a band of monkeys is also lost in the past in many different lands. If those monkeys are left to their own devices, they will probably end up seriously changing the course of history.
So that is just a brief bit of the professor.
Now, is that the PSP version or the PS1 version?
That is the PlayStation. Okay. The PlayStation Portable version had all kinds of voice work from that dude, and he's annoying as hell. And also, he calls them monkeys, so I'm thinking Ape Escape is a great name because it sounds good, but these aren't apes. These are monkeys.
Yeah. It's but that's fine. Ape Escape, Monkey Escape sounds stupid.
I don't know. Kind of like Monkey Escape. Yeah. Like Monkey Escape. I don't know. It's fun.
How about Time Monkey?
I would Time Monkeys. Oh.
Time Monkeys. I'd go play Time Monkeys.
Okay, now you've convinced me. I like...
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
So why do you think this venerable, like, you know, people love it. It's a game people have fond feelings for. But I also feel like not enough people got a chance to play because their parents wouldn't let them buy an extra controller back in the day. Right. But Sony hasn't done jack shite with this IP for however many years now. Why?
While they did the Spyro thing, they did that was from the PS1. They did. We just talked about the Bandicoot. He's got his own reboot thing. I don't understand why they don't do it. And it, oddly enough, every couple of years, it seems like every 5 years or so, the Sony seems to make an official announcement that we're doing something with Ape Escape, and then nothing happens.
Then nothing happens. I don't understand
people asking for it.
It's a weird thing to hint at and then do nothing with.
I mean, there's been cartoons. It's okay. So Ape Escape wasn't as big in the U.S. as it was in Japan. It was huge in Japan. There was anime. We got a couple of cartoons here. I think Frederator. You know Frederator. You've probably seen their YouTube stuff. They've done a lot of the stuff too. They've done one. It's a real simple franchise that I think that they could reboot. I mean, nothing deep about this, and it's got that Japanese weirdness, but it's not so deep that you have to like turn your brain off. You're literally just a guy chasing apes or monkeys through time, trying to return them to because you just know you know that it's not good. Even if they're what doesn't matter what they're really doing, you just know. That Ape should not be, time traveling. That's just a bad idea.
Yeah, I agree. There's nothing about the idea, the concept of an ape traveling through time that gives me comfort or hope and everything.
Because what they're wanting to do, if you get it, if you actually listen to what they're saying all the way through, is Spectre, the albino monkey who's the leader, wants to basically entrap the humans into the amusement park and for them to be the rulers. And I'm like, that seems complicated.
So I just found the cartoon that aired here. And then I found the anime that aired in Japan.
Yeah.
It looks very, that's not really similar. That's a very different thing.
Yeah. That's actually the art and the font styles that you would have seen in the Ape Escape 2, which was for the PlayStation 2. We're not going to really talk about too much because it's actually a little more modern retro than we really are.
I feel like PS2 and also I probably am giving people the impression that they never touched it again, but they did. PlayStation 2 got a game. And that of course made it easier in that console's life cycle because it came with DualShock controllers or a controller, so it's not like you had to do anything weird there, but I don't know, it just feels like it could have had a moment on PS3 or maybe PS4 even, or even now. Mm-hmm.
It didn't make it to the PS3. It was Ape Escape 3 made it there. Well, I definitely didn't put that, though, because people really give me crap whenever I talk about the PSP as being anything retro. I'm like, it's two generations ago. Come on.
No, PSP counts, I think. If you're going to count, if we're going to count DS, even though we don't that often, but still, it doesn't matter.
2005 for the PSP.
We do what we want, yo. We do what we want. Okay.
Well, 2005 for the PSP. This is the reason why I still think of it that way, because it's somewhere, it's like PS1.5 because it's not PS2 yet, and the graphics are more similar to the PSP, the PlayStation 1 than it is the PlayStation 2. Mm-hmm. It's just not beefy enough to really get to the next, because once you get to the PS2, we start doing widescreen, you know, where games can be, you can choose between widescreen. And that's another big jump when you really think about it, getting out of that 4x3 format and getting into widescreen and stuff. So,
oh yeah.
And there's a bunch of things that just make it a little bit too new.
Yeah.
Still.
I agree.
But barely.
But they could do something with it now and say, hey, this one takes advantage of the PlayStation 5's DualSense controller, where, yes, you know, trigger haptics and, you know, they love that kind of crap. Just lean into it and do something new. Yeah. I don't know what.
The only reason why we'll really, you know, the only reason why I really kind of usher the PSP, I mean, the PS2 and the PS3 into the retro area eventually is because we're going to eventually get to the point that a lot of people are going to forget there was a time when you weren't connected at all.
These
were all standalone machines, and it's going to start looking really weird, you know, in about 10 years, like, oh, what? Yeah. You can't download nothing new? Nope.
Yeah.
What you got is what you got.
Yeah. That's true.
Even the PSP, PS3 was starting to see it, right?
PS3 is the first one. The PS2 had its, like, network connector thing, but it was extra. It wasn't built into the thing. Really, the Dreamcast even beat that to market.
Yep.
And, but they didn't, they weren't great. They weren't, like, super high, you know, you couldn't update games. It wasn't like,
right,
oh, big 20 gig patch coming for Ape Escape. Mm-mm. They didn't do that.
20 gig patch.
You did it with PlayStation 3 and 360. That was the era when true connected internet sort of shit was going down.
Right.
And hasn't left since. So it's just those two worlds. That's when it changed. Right down the middle.
Yeah. Playing Ape Escape this past week made me realize that this kind of game, I was trying to think really hard. This game and Luigi's Mansion share a lot in common for my enjoyment. And that is, you're not the one being pursued. You're not running through stuff, blowing stuff up. You're actually having to face off with different characters and figure out how to capture them. And I seem to really, that vibe seems to really work for me, because I loved Ape Escape back in the day. Luigi's Mansion is one of my most favorite games. Mm, and it's so all good. About, you know, analyzing the situation, figuring out how you're going to, you know, sneak up or catch, you know, either a ghost or an escape monkey ape. And, it really fulfill something. I mean, I was trying to think of what modern games.
Oh, I know. Really, I know what you would love. This. You want to know what you would love?
What can I go collect?
You need to play those new Hitman games. I guess it's now one big giant Hitman game, because they put 1, 2, and 3 together into a single big fat game. But those Hitman games are, as much as you might think, oh, it's just about assassinating, that doesn't sound like, you know, what you're talking about. It's 100% what you're talking about, because that game's all about get that can of soup, knock that dude out. Grab the wrench, go break a thing. So the guard goes over to check it out, bonk him on the head, take his clothes, but they better be the right clothes. You're not going to get all the way into the inner sanctum where they got to have the right guards in there, or else they'll kick you out or bust you or shoot you. Like, those games are all about, let's look at your surroundings. Let's look at what gadgets you have available to you and what your objectives are. Now figure out a way to do it. And in a lot of ways, it owes a little bit of its trajectory from games like this, I think.
Right. So in Hitman, do the different levels of bad guys wear different pants? Like, one guy will wear corduroy, one guy's got some blue jeans.
Sometimes. Or is that? Usually it's like guards outside of, let's say, a palace or something. They're all in a certain
one guy's
kind
got
of garb.
Some cutoff jeans. You know, you're really in big trouble then. Yeah.
And then sometimes it's like, the great thing about the game is there's a billion ways to accomplish the goals. Like, there's almost no end to how you could go about it. So you could poison them with rat poison. You could corner them in a room where no one else is. You could do a billion ways of getting to your targets. But sometimes the weirdest way is the fun ways.
I want the new Ape Escape to have rat poison worked into it somewhere or other. That would be fan-freaking-tastic.
Yeah, bring that up with the rest of your gadgets and use that. But, like, if you wanted to go, like, there's one in Miami, the scenario where there's a drag race going on the whole time. It's like an outdoor track. And the best way to play in that zone is to get to wear this mascot uniform, because all the other employees don't know it's you, and you look like you're supposed to be working there, but it's really hard to get it. You got to kill the guy to get it, and not kill him. You have to incapacitate him. But anyway, there are plenty of examples now of games, I think, like that, and a lot of them owe, I don't know, a bit of a nod to a thing like Ape Escape, because in some ways, I think Ape Escape may have been, well, that's not true. Do you remember Tenchu on the PlayStation?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love that, yeah.
That's the first time that stealth really got its claws in me in a video game.
Right,
and
right.
This has some of that in it, where you're trying to sneak up behind them, stay out of their view, crawl on the ground to get there. Alternate ways of approaching the situation. And in some ways, this game invented a lot of that, and I respect it for it.
I think I either forgot or did not know that the different monkeys had different colored pants that represented. I'd always end up scanning them and getting their stats to know that they'd be, you know, maybe they're fast, maybe they're more prone to fight. But I didn't realize there was like a quick visual cue of, you know, different colored pants would do different things. I didn't know that until I forgot it. One of the two. Clive and Wrench is about a time travel 3D platformer with a monkey. And I saw that what can I play right now that is like that?
Clive and Wrench? I haven't heard of
Clive
that.
Clive and Wrench. I had never heard of it before either. But I looked at that today, and I was like, well, maybe this will be my jam. Maybe it's on Steam. I think it's like
it's
supposed to be coming to the – oh, but it's got like a 6 out of 10. Okay. So
that's not the worst, though. You could do worse.
It's not the worst, but
– you could do a lot worse than that.
I don't know.
I mean, it's not you don't. It's not the kind of thing you jump at. But if you can get it for a couple of bucks,
I gotta have that 6 out of 10. Yes, baby.
So let's talk for a second about this McDonald's original Happy Disc thing that came out on the PlayStation 2. I didn't know this existed until you dug this relic up.
I knew nothing about this. I was doing my deep dives in our Ape Escape, and I found this treasure that's called the McDonald's original Happy Disc that came out. It's supposed to be. It was eventually released. Is Ape Escape 2001, but before then, it saw its way into some kind of McDonald's kiosk with Pa Rappa the Rapper, I believe it was.
Yeah,
and this little demo thing, and you're sucking
Japan
the pants.
Only, right? Totally Japan.
Japan only.
Yeah,
you're sucking the pants off of monkeys in some kind of Ronald McDonald land.
Okay,
and I was like, I'm in.
Yeah,
sold.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you be? You know, that description alone, sucking the pants off of monkeys in Ronald McDonald Land. I don't even know what to say.
Even the intro is hilarious. You got all the monkeys. They're back. You've brought them back to normal time. They're doing like, what do you call it when you do those impromptu dance party things?
Oh,
they're doing one.
Yeah.
They're doing one of those, but nobody does them anymore. But they're doing one of those. The professor's, I believe the professor's granddaughter is there. She's mad because she's having to hang up all the pants that the monkeys are wearing. Oh. And for some reason, I guess you're leaving the helmets on the monkey still, but you're sucking the pants off of the monkeys and you're collecting them to wash them. I don't know why. I guess monkeys are messy, but I was in. I was like, yes, please. I will suck all your pants off. And I did just that.
And you did. Oh, you played. Did you play this?
Oh yes, my God, yes. And it's kind of like.
Dude! Oh,
trying to see what I'm comparing it to. It reminded me of Headhunter, the mod for Quake. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Oh, I loved Headhunter, dude. That mode. So good.
Yeah. So you run around, you get as many pants as you can by sucking them, and they like you hang them off the back of your clothes, and you have to make it back to the wash machine before any of the apes retrieve their pants. So it's kind of like I said, it's kind of reminds me of a Headhunter, how you have to like you try to get as many as you can and dump them all off at the spot. There's got to be a better example of
there is Headhunter. Halo Infinite has a mode like this that's very good.
There you go.
I can't figure what it's called though, but you're basically collecting skulls. Same idea,
right? Yeah, same deal. So you're just, the more you have, and when you turn in, the more you get, you know, the more points you get. So, yeah can you imagine being at McDonald's in Japan and this thing is happening? Mm. I'm like, yeah.
A mere 22 years ago, you could have had this.
Yeah, 22 years ago, you could suck the pants right off monkeys. I don't think that's how I think Ape Escape 2001 actually was this as well.
Was it?
I think you still did it here, yeah.
Wow.
I just don't think it was in some kind of child-friendly McDonald land.
Look at him dragging the pants behind him as he sucks them. Stack of pants.
When you suck them up, you can then, when you stop sucking them, they fly across the screen. You can like knock them over like bowling pins.
Well, that's what you want.
It's actually pretty satisfying. It's actually a pretty fun little game.
It sounds a little like Luigi's Mansion there, the way it's
exactly
the pants
what off. It sounded like to me, too, because you kind of do that as well. Yep. So that's probably the reason why it hit me so well, probably.
Then there's this Catch'em thing from 1992.
Yeah, which, this is another weird find. If any other week, the Catch'em would have been the best find but I still feel like I need to mention it because it's 1992.
Yeah.
Is side scrolling, but you're pretty much still doing the same thing. You're catching the monkeys got away from the zoo, and you got to go collect them.
Do you feel like Ape Escape aped this idea from them?
I was trying to figure it out. I ran out of time doing my research because there's not a whole lot of stuff out there about Ape Escape. There is, but it seems like it's the same stuff over and over again. Because there's a little larger development team here, and a lot of these guys moved on to other things, and so it was kind of a stepping stone for a lot of them. I don't think they really, they don't do too many interviews specifically about Ape Escape, which is a shame because it was a huge impact on me and a lot of other people.
Yep, look at these little apes. This little guy's got a trap, so he catches them, boom.
Yeah.
And then he bonks him on the head. Oh, boy, treating apes like shit.
Yeah, yeah. Bop him over the head. Put him in a net. Look at that. Got him in his little baggy net thing. Now he has to take him back.
He's really slow is my only complaint. I don't want to move that dude around. He takes too long.
This is like a European release only, and this was like
Amiga? Think,
Amiga and DOS were the two.
This looks like an Amiga game to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Something about the colors or something.
Yeah, but I want to go back and play that. That's one of those weird games. Any other week would have been the crown jewel, but that McDonald's original Happy Disc nailed it for me.
That's amazing. So, I don't know. To sum it up, Ape Escape, I think, holds up as a example of innovating with new hardware.
Yes.
I think that it doesn't stand the test of time overall for gameplay for me.
Right. I think they tried to recapture this magic in Ape Escape 3 by using, I think it was, is that when they started having the iToy thing, I believe? Is that the gimmick? Because let's face it, Ape Escape kind of was lucky that it didn't get locked into a gimmick game because it did require that you use, the dual analog stick. Mm-hmm. It could easily, if something had happened, the dual analog stick just kind of went away, this game would have been, just another gimmick game you would never think about.
Yeah, for sure. The ways you can play this today, everybody, if you're wondering where you can get it, real hardware, obviously, if you got a PlayStation and an old disc, you can play it. The disc itself, I saw some on eBay. They weren't that bad.
No, $20 or something.
Emulation, of course, and PlayStation Plus classic devices. Those classic, small, tiny consoles include the game. So you can play it there.
The game, they do.
Brian, that leads us straight into this wall here.
Destroy it.
We're going to try to guess each other's games. Man, I'm so excited about mine, but I guess I'll play it first so you see if you can guess it. Remember, you have three questions. We try to stump each other with a little audio and try to figure out what each other brought to the table. Here's mine. Your hints are 1994 is the year. The Sega Genesis is the platform.
Okay, so we've got a Sega Genesis. So we got the three questions again. So yep. Sega Genesis 1990. Go.
Here we go.
Oh, this sounds real familiar.
I mean, it's Genesis as hell.
Right. Wow, is this Night of the Roxbury?
It sure sounded like it, didn't it? Okay, this might give it away.
Is that like some kind of alien beam? Is that my first question? Some kind of alien beam? Does this involve aliens?
No aliens. No. None. That's number one. Second question.
Are we racing?
Yes.
Is that turning in corners? Okay.
Yes.
So that's a corning turn?
It's a corning turn.
It's a turn into a corner. Okay.
It's a corning turn.
1990 Sega Genesis with a corning turn.
With a corning turn.
With a race game that sounds old as crap. That sounds even older than 1990, but...
Well, 94.
Oh, 94, did you say 94?
Yeah, 94.
Oh, I'm looking at the wrong screen. No wonder. Duh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then that's even more to your point. It sounds older.
Right, even older, yeah. Is this a sequel?
No. I wish there was one. I would play it right now. That's how much I like it. That's your third question,
by
the way.
That is my third question, and it does sound familiar, but I really can't place it.
Got it. Nobody in the chat seems to know.
It's pretty good, Scott. Yeah, I think it might have stumped me. I'm going to go with Sega Genesis's fast race car.
Nailed it. No, that's not it at all. The answer is combat cars.
Combat cars. Okay.
Amazing top-down racer game. So it is like the best thing I could compare it to in terms of distance of camera to car is the Super Nintendo. I don't know if they made more than one for that thing, but they made a PlayStation game too. But the Micro Machines games.
Yes, exactly what it looks like, isn't it? Yes. Yeah,
kind of top down like that. But they're combat cars. Different cars do different things. And you pick a dude at the beginning. They're all ridiculous, the characters. It's just over the top stupid. But the actual racing, some of you've got gun type things. The guy I used yesterday had a lot of oil spills he could poop out.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a little bit of, you know, the combat.
Oh, I should have guessed this because I saw you post that stupid character list on the Dern Twitter.
Yeah, I put it up on there now on that damn Twitter. Let's see if I can find it for the chat so I can see this. It's a great select your champion kind of looking deal.
Yeah, I like Teen Wolf who's eating too much. Or maybe, this girl looks familiar too. We got Snake Plissken. We got Rogue.
Yeah,
we've got
so you got Jackal. He looks like Snake. Sadie looks like, I don't know, Rogue, I guess.
Rogue. Yeah.
Ray looks like
Jubilee, maybe.
I don't know who the hell Ray is. I guess right. Scott Summers. He's
he's Cyclops. There you go.
Keck Mac.
Mech Mac.
Mech Mac. Mech Mac. He's just a big bald, maybe, I don't know, Juggernaut, I guess.
Juggernaut. Nailed it.
Yep. Metro looks like a Terminator.
He does like a Terminator, doesn't he? We got Teen Wolf is Growl.
Growl or Beast. Mama. There's this lady who's all
brutal. She looks like what's her face? Who's the mobster lady that had her kids kill everybody?
Oh geez.
The Goonies was based on
right.
Mama. Oh, what is her stupid
it's
name?
It's probably based on that, you know?
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Then you got Andrew.
Is it an orc or something?
What it looks like an orc or an elf or like a something with blonde hair.
Orc elf.
It's so dumb. It's incredibly dumb. The premise and the characters and all that. Game is awesome. I would play that right now. That game is great. I ended up playing it for 3 hours and I was like, what am I doing? I recorded 3 hours of audio. I had to cut all that down because I forgot I was recording it. That's how you know you're playing a good game. That game's rad. So check it out. Again, it is called Combat Cars. It's just the simplest
combat
name
cars.
For the Sega Genesis and or Mega Drive, depending on what part of the country you were in. Brian, I see you've got an arcade game for me. What year are we looking at here?
We're at back of the arcade because next week we're going back to the arcade. And it's 1985.
85. Wow. All right.
1985 at the arcade.
Let's see what we got here. Let's play this. Gosh, this is chaos.
I know. It's one of the loudest ones you would hear in 1985 the arcade, right?
Yeah, if I walked and heard this, I'd be like, dude, turn that down. Okay, first question.
Give me it.
Did Capcom make this?
Capcom made this.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I know what it is, but I'm going to ask my other questions.
Right.
Because it does sound familiar to me. All right, does it feature a mechanic where your clothes pop off if you get hit the first time?
Well, that's crazy. That's like asking if you can go into McDonald's and suck the pants off apes.
It is a little like that,
right? But yeah, that could happen.
Okay. I don't want to waste my third question just to be safe. Is it sort of medievally looking?
It's kind of medievally, but sure. Yeah.
Okay, I think this is Ghosts and Goblins.
You got it. Ghosts and Goblins from 1985, Capcom.
Nice. Not to be confused with Super Ghosts and Goblins on the Super Nintendo, which was, well, they're both known for being ridiculously hard.
Right.
Over the top difficult, these games. But yeah, there's something about that. That's super familiar to me. That game's hard. When's the last time you tried playing that? It's freaking hard.
I played Super Ghouls and Ghosts not that long ago, and it is still hard.
They were not playing around with that game.
Mm-mm.
They were like, hey, how do you feel about being punished? for your life, for your quarter.
I like being punished. Could you please punish me some more?
Punish me with your effing game. All right, well, that was fun. I always enjoy that.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Well, my goodness. Yeah, look at this. We got a single message this week. This came via our text line, 801-471-0462, and they asked the question, when are we getting Command & Conquer? Petty D is the person who sent this in. I assume he means when, he or she means, when are we going to talk about Command & Conquer?
Right. That's a darn good question.
We've talked about this a little, like Westwood Studios and all that, but I don't know that we've, I don't know if we've locked anything in. We should think about that.
No, if we've hit around, well, you know, we kind of go through cycles. So we're at the end of one cycle. We hit all the way up to the PlayStation. Now we're about to go all the way back to the arcade in the 80s.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we'll eventually get back to the 90s and PC based stuff, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I hope so.
Yeah. That'll happen. Yeah.
I think Westwood and, they did Dune. They did, or Dune 2, I guess, was it called? I don't remember now. Was there a Dune before Dune 2?
It had to be, right? You can't just come out with Dune 2 and go, this is Dune 2. You can't do that, right?
Is
that
I don't remember how that went.
Can you do that?
But they also did so many of these, obviously all these strategy games, but they did so much other stuff.
But Command & Conquer. Oh, Command. Oh, come on.
Command & Conquer.
Command & Conquer. Take some turns.
Command & Conquer. That's what we're going to call that episode.
Words are hard. I told you, I've been sick all week.
Yeah, it's
my brain.
Now I'm usually the one, so don't feel bad. But yeah, we're going to absolutely slot them in, and it'll come up soon. We'll let you know when. But thank you for the recommendation, Petty D.
Yes.
If you'd like to be like Petty D and send in your own questions, you can do that. That text number is 801-471-0462. You can also leave voicemails. We'd be happy to take those. Our next game and discussion will be Moon Patrol.
Moon Patrol.
We're going back to the arcade. Woo!
Yes, we are going to get our Moon Patrol on. I'm going to finally get to the moon and to patrol it with those six-wheeling vehicles. I can't wait.
Going to jump over some holes and land carefully. Oh, that'll be great.
And look and go, is this parallax? Mm-hmm. What is this technology?
I know. At the time, it was like, what? Who?
Right.
Am I in 3D? It felt like.
Is this 3D?
Yeah. Many, many quarters were pumped into our local arcade and me playing Moon Patrol when I was a kid. And I'm very excited to talk about this one because I think.
And maybe some of the ports.
Yeah. And some of the ports. But it's just a. I don't know why I think so highly of it. I'm not even sure. So playing it this next week will be interesting because maybe I love the thing.
I remember it was just so much more colorful than everything else. And it was just, I just remember that about Moon Patrol. I was like, oh, this is like, wow, this thing is jumping out at me. Truly.
Yeah. Next level, that game. So we'll talk all about it. Moon Patrol. So do your homework if you want to. Go watch some videos, play it if you want, whatever. That's what we're going to talk about right here on Play Retro. In the meantime, I'd sure like it if the good folks at home would, I don't know, take a look and see what our Patreon's all about, because we have a rad Patreon full of really cool people who support us over there. And we have new names, although for some reason they got... Oh, I see what I did.
Oh, did I copy them? Somewhere?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it might have been me. Let me see if I actually have it right here. I just want to give him a shout out. Let's see.
If you got something you're wanting to see for patron level, go ahead and let us know, because we're already starting to plan some things. But yeah, always like to hear some feedback.
Oh, here we go. Frankie Weir and Michael Sepcott.
Sepcott.
Brand new folks supporting us here on the Patreon. Patreon.com/PlayRetroShow? Mm-hmm. No. Play Retro.
Show?
That's it.
Yeah. No, Play Retro Show.
Just Play Retro. Show, right? No, it's just Play Retro. Right? Patreon is just Play Retro, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's the other stuff Patreon. That has show on it. Anyway, patreon.com/PlayRetro. You'll never get commercials. You get pre-show content every week and other great monthly benefits that you can get because you're rad and you want to join these other people and become retro supporters of the show. Play Retro over at patreon.com/PlayRetro. That's gonna do it for us. Oh, send us your emails too. playretroshow@gmail.com, playretroshow on Twitter, all that sort of stuff. You can find Brian at TheBrianDunaway over there. You can find me at Scott Johnson. And I think that's it. Brian, anything else you'd like to add before we leave?
Tune in for with me on Friday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, where I'll be playing some Moon Patrol.
Yeah, Brian will be streaming that. And
if you're looking, bump your butt.
Yeah, monkey butt. Or, wait, monkey ape butt.
No,
butt.
Don't bump your butt.
Oh, bump your monkey's butt. I heard that. No. I heard it right.
Moon shoes.
No, that's not it. Moon shoes. Sorry, all right, that's it.
Moon shoes? Why do moon play, shoes?
Go play something retro, you wing wangs, and we'll be back next week with more. We'll see you then.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Band of monkeys.